Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our continuing preseason coverage for 2021-2022. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood.
Woohoo. Tim Miles.
Joined by John Titel and somebody who's chanting Tim Miles up here, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org and Matt Sikowski on the bottom row. We are doing four podcasts simultaneously tonight. Just hit play on all four of them. Get that recipe for peanut butter cookies. if you're looking for the American podcast, it's up there, right, David?
Yeah, it is. It's up there.
And Atlantic 10, it's up there. If you're here for the West Coast, it's down below us. This is the Mountain West preview show. And if you look for anything else, then you're just on the wrong website or something. I don't know. We are going to be talking Mountain West Conference. A conference that's pretty interesting this year. And I think we should start the whole thing off with the most important team in the Mountain West.
Tim Miles. Yes. Well, San Jose State has, granted, it's been a little bit of a rough ride. Their last four seasons have seen fewer than 10 wins, and three out of the four have seen five wins or fewer. But what they have done is they have hired Tim Miles. This man, he was the coach at North Dakota State when they transitioned. They actually won a game against a ranked team when they were transitioning. I want to say they beat Wisconsin and Marquette. I think they won two. He takes bad teams and he makes them good teams because he's amazing. That's just what he does.
So you have them winning the conference this year?
Yes, I have them winning
okay.
the conference.
Okay. Well, Richard Washington may be the best scorer in the conference, honestly, on his team. He's going to score a ton of points. But no, I think they're going to finish right around 11th place, maybe 10th. But let's talk seriously, though. And John, let me start with you. How about the other San team? How about San Diego State?
They should do a little higher than 11th. I think that they're the favorite, although they lost so much from last year in Jordan Shacklin, Matt Mitchell, two of their key senior starters. They also finished the regular season on a 11-game winning streak and then won three games in 3 days to win the Mountain West before losing to Syracuse in the tournament. It's hard not to like Brian Dutcher, two-time defending conference coach of the year. They bring back Trey Pulliam. They bring in Matt Bradley from Cal. Tough schedule, BYU, ASU, Michigan, and two games in Anaheim. So I think they're the favorite, but I don't know that it's a slam dunk.
I was going to ask Rocco this, but I probably should ask Matt because we've got a team where Matt Mitchell is going and Matt Bradley is in, right?
Yeah, I was saying Matt Bradley. That's the kid. Like, Cal has not been good when he was there, but he's awesome. And I always see, like, on a winning team, I know I had a little bit of questions during our Big 12 preview about Texas and how guys who haven't won in their careers would do. But I think Matt Bradley's more of a – he's not a real selfish player. So goes, I think the San Diego system were tough, hard-nosed wings. They're known for those, and he'll be next in line for that. And probably he'll wish he spent his entire career there, but I think a huge addition to kind of help offset the losses of guys like Shackle and Mitchell especially on his big-bodied wings, and probably makes him one of the co-favorites in the league.
Co-favorites of the league. Matt, I'll come back to you for a second here. I want to ask you and Rocco about the other co-favorite. What about this Colorado State team, Rocco? I'm seeing a ton of love for them.
Well, we're talking about a team that didn't lose a single player, and they also brought in a Division II superstar in Chandler Jacobs, who's going to play a little bit of a role. We don't think he's going to start, but he'll play a role. And you got possibly the most entertaining player in America, in David Roddy. He's a former high school football star turned college basketball player. He's only 6'5", but he plays like he's 6'11", and he's a freaking bulldog that can shoot. And he almost averages 10 boards a game, by the way, at 6'5". So if you haven't watched a lot of Colorado State, he alone is worth turning on the television. And by the way, I haven't even mentioned Isaiah Stevens, who might take such a big jump this year, he could win Mountain West Player of the Year. There'll be obviously some great competition for that award as this league is taking a giant step forward in 21-22. But Colorado State, you know, last year they were the second-to-last team out. Just missed at the end. They had basically a do-or-die game in the semis of the Mountain West tournament, and they got K-Ded. You know, they had no answer for K-Ded, the big guy from Utah State last year, and just got outplayed. But this team was right there last year. Everything in store back. It's another year of Medved, who we've always liked. I think the NCAAs are in the cards this year.
Yeah, Matt, I know you had comments on them also, and then David, I'll go to you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'd say no. That's the one. As I mentioned, he echoed my thought. David Rodney, just one of the real intriguing players in all of college basketball, especially on the West Coast. I think it's kind of a proven year for Nico Medved. You bring everyone back, and he's a guy, I think he's a really good coach, but has never made the tournament in his career. And man, short of being a high major team where you can maybe recruit a half step above this, you're not going to have a much better shot at Colorado State with everything back. And I think a year where continuity will matter because there's been so much movement throughout all these schools. So that's where I like having everyone back, a proven coach. And I think, yeah, they take a step up. And I know the metrics are a little divided on them, but I think they could be a top 30 team this year.
I agree with that big time. I just think that this is a team with so much potential. They're not in the rankings right now, but I definitely think they're going to be there at the end and maybe even pretty high, depending on how much better they do against how much better they are and what they can do against the rest of the league. They might be one or two teams that just kind of runs away from everybody. They're not going to be tested a while. They do have a big out of conference game against Mississippi State, another win against Alabama. But other than that, this could be a team that when you look at the schedule, they might end the season with five or six losses or fewer than that. I did want to ask Chad this, the question though, can they win the front range?
Can they win the front range? Well, let's see here. We've got in the front range, you've got Colorado State, Colorado Air Force, Denver, yeah. Is Wyoming in the front range as well?
Yeah, they are. They are.
I think it's going to come down to them in Colorado. I like them better than Colorado, honestly.
I do too. So, yeah,
I'm with you.
Which, by the way, fun fact, if it all comes together in the Paradise Jam, Colorado State and Colorado could meet in the championship game.
Northern awesome. Colorado, too. I forget, first game.
Oh, you don't forget, Northern Colorado's in the front range.
Yeah.
No.
When do they play Colorado? I'm not seeing Colorado on the schedule. No, surely they play Colorado.
They took it off the schedule because what? They were in the same event, the Paradise
Game. God.
But okay. They have to play in the final or in the third place game, something like that.
John, beyond these two teams, is there a third team that you're looking at as a potential contender here for the top of the conference? Or is that it?
San Jose State.
I think that Utah State, after making the tournament last year, has a chance to go back there. They have a ton of good seniors. They bring back Justin Bean and Brock Miller. They bring in Brandon Horvath and RJ Idlerock, who are following Coach Ryan Odom from UMBC to Utah State. I wish we could get Joby's take on Ryan Odom, but unfortunately he's unavailable. But we know the guy can coach on a small budget on the East Coast. Let's see how I can do with a little bigger budget on the out West. He's got BYU, Iowa, and of course the big challenge on the schedule is the Penn Quakers.
Right. It's going to be tough with Q to go on. And I'm a little bit shocked. I'm hearing John Tytel making a case for a first year head coach.
I am too.
Yeah. Ryan Odom. I think Ryan Odom was a great hire though. Utah State, you know, I think he's going to have a lot of success there. Let me go back to you, Matt. What about Steve Alford and Nevada?
I would say, I think I'm going to need a shower after this, but I actually like them a lot this year.
Really?
I'm not a huge fan of Mr. Alford, but again, they returned a lot of guys. You got Grant Sherfield back after he was actually committed to him to UCLA. I believe played a year in Wichita before that, but yeah, came with him to Nevada now. The second year there, you got KJ Himes, another pretty high-level talent in that. And I could see them again. I think keeping guys together and experience is going to be big. And most everyone is back. They were playing better ball toward the end of last year. And that they almost knocked Utah State out of the NCAA tournament with a late season win over them. So I like Nevada. I think, I don't know if they're going to have quite to make it, but I bet you at the minimum, they're going to be in the discussion for the last few win or the first few
wins. Ooh, really? You like them a lot, don't you?
I'm with Matt on this. He didn't even mention Desmond Cambridge. He was third in the conference in scoring. He's back as well. There's pieces here at Nevada that are fascinating.
It needs to happen. I really thought Steve Alford would have done a little better than what he's done in the first 2 years. So I don't know. Yeah, I think if he's going to do something, it needs to happen this year because the pieces are there.
I have to defend Alford again. I'm going to really feel dirty, but no, he actually did not inherit a great situation there. That they're there year three. I think actually this is a really good coaching job.
Rocco, how about you? Are you on Nevada? Do you have somebody else you're looking at?
Well, I do think Nevada needs to be in the picture. I mean, I think this is a clear top three in the same tier. You know, San Diego State's trying to bring in new pieces with Bradley and a great system. You know, we covered Colorado State to death. Nevada's right there. If it's 1A, 1B, 1C, I would not be surprised. They're that good. Problem is they didn't get the non-conference schedule they wanted. So they're going to have to do some serious damage in the league, Nevada. So we'll see. But last year, look, they beat Boise three times when Boise had everything on the line. Nevada went to the finals instead. Semifinals. So program momentum, Sherfield preseason player of the year in the league. Lot of momentum there in Reno. The next team on the list, I do think they're a distant fourth from the top three, is Boise State. So I guess we could discuss them. It's going to start five seniors. Again, another old team. We like these old teams. And really balanced scoring coming back between Keegob and Acott and Armis, Dutrieve, and Shaver. Four of those are COVID seniors as well. So a lot of experience. Max Rice, coach's son, will probably be the sixth man. And then RJ Keene could end up being there's not many freshmen in the Mountain West. If you look at all these rosters, so many transfers, there's barely any candidates for freshman of the year. But RJ Keene could definitely be that guy if he gets the necessary minutes and he kind of makes that transition from high school to Boise State. But they're going to need something from, I think, him to be in contention for a bid. But they'll be interesting and very tough to beat in Boise.
Yeah, that there will be. I question their depth is my biggest question on Boise. But if they can develop that depth, I think they could be. I don't know that they're 1D, but I think they're clearly two or four, whatever you call that.
right,
John, another new head coach in this conference is Lon Kruger's son Kevin taking over at UNLV after TJ Otzelberger, off of a 12-15 season, gets the promotion up to Iowa State for reasons I still haven't figured out.
You don't like TJ at all. But I do.
Okay.
No, I expect that Lon Kruger is going to spend a lot of time in Vegas this winter watching his son Kevin, who takes over at UNLV, where both of them made the Sweet 16 back in 2007. Lon was the coach. Kevin was playing for him. He got a huge boost when two-time All-Conference player Bryce Hamilton took his name out of the transfer portal earlier this summer. He also brings in a ton of terrific transfers. Jordan McCabe, West Virginia. Mike Nuga scored 18 points a game at Kent State. Justin Webster scored 12 a game in Hawaii. David Muoka, Southland Defensive Player of the Year at Lamar. Brutal schedule next month. They have a nine-day stretch. Michigan, maybe Arizona, depending on how the Roman main event shakes out, and UCLA in 9 days. The good news, all three of those games are in Sin City.
The bad news, I don't think they're going to win any of them. David, one of our favorite schools, we already mentioned them very briefly. Nobody gets higher than them. How about Wyoming this year?
Yet nobody, and I mean nobody, gets higher than the Wyoming Cowboys. I don't know. I think they're middle of the packish. Yeah. I think they were around 500, 7-9 in conference last year. They returned some starters. They got some other good pieces that are coming in. I think that, again, they're sort of in the middle, probably just below the middle of the league. Now, if our good friend John Stolica was here, he'd have them winning the league. He's a big Wyoming fan for whatever reason.
But just because of Wyoming, not for any other reason.
Yeah, not for any other reason. But, yeah, nobody gets higher. Nobody plays higher.
Matt. Yeah, I'll just skip a team here and go to you next, Matt, because I know you want to talk about New Mexico and their new head coach, Richard Pitino.
What word? Why? I think they're low key one of the top jobs in this conference. And you just hired a guy who failed at Minnesota got someone like Joe Pasternak from UCSB. Heck, if you want to do that, I know there is thoughts of Frank Martin. And actually, I don't know why Frank Martin, that would have been the perfect move. Do the Shaka get out 1 year earlier, 1 year before they get you, instead they might get you now, and go there. And I think, to a basketball-rich tradition that the Pit, hey, when they're good, the Pit's an awesome place. They haven't been good for a while, ever since Craig Neal took over for Alford, it didn't work there. And that I thought it was going to work with Paul Weir, but didn't work in that, and now I really don't think it's going to work with Pitino.
There
were a couple of flashes at Minnesota, but
okay,
maybe the second chance is. I actually have I have college friends who live in the Twin Cities who vouch that he's actually a really good guy, but still, I thought New Mexico could have done better.
This might be the perfect level for him. I mean, nothing this year, but I would not roll him out. And they give him a few years. He might build something. I'm not going to say absolutely not. It was a strange hire, especially that quickly. But Rocco, I did skip over Fresno State. They do have their top five scorers back, but it's not quite enough, is it?
Well, for a bid, probably a little too aspirational, but I think, Orlando Robinson's a guy that went really deep into the NBA draft process, and he's a tremendous prospect. I think he'll be the best big man in the league. And I think Jamarl Baker coming over from Arizona, a proven Pac-12 level player, really spices things up and makes it a little more interesting. You also have a veteran set of starters around those two to go along with the top two guys off the bench, Ballard and Campbell, most likely senior and junior. It's an old team. Again, this is similar to my response on the A10 podcast where I said my biggest concern was David Cox. Here, my biggest concern is probably Hudson. You know, his first year at Fresno, they went 23-9. He finished top 80 in KenPom, and they've got nothing but backwards right after that. It was a total rebuild after he lost that team. This team looks very much ready to win. They don't have a super challenging non-conference schedule. So a chance to build a lot of confidence going into the league. I'm very interested, and I am going to call them my dark horse in this league.
Oh, really? Wow.
Not to win it, but just to make noise, make some noise.
That does surprise me. I actually have them fifth in the conference. So maybe it doesn't turn to be a surprise.
That's where I'm at.
That's pretty much the entire conference. Air Force is in the league, technically. We like Joe Scott as a person. We have not liked his results on the court since his first stint at Air Force, though, David. But
it's tough to win in a service academy. Wow.
But I guess on that note, what I want to do is go through each of you, ask you a couple of questions, as we always do. Number one, who's going to win the conference? Number two, how many bids from the league? And number three, any other final thoughts about the league? Matt, why don't I start with you on this one?
Oh, hey, I started this. So I'm going to shoot my shot. I'll go Colorado State winning the league. I'll go three bids, Colorado State, San Diego State, Nevada. And I think a thought is I like them for three bids. Either say Nevada's schedule isn't great, because you've mentioned so many veteran teams that I think might do some damage on a conference, and therefore build it up to where if Nevada wins at their place, there might be a couple more quadrant one wins in there. So that, and then they get one or both of the top teams at home. And therefore I think that'll be enough to build to say they'd be like 26-7. And that's enough to get them. Cause I think the Mountain West might be the number seven league this year.
I'm actually completely with Matt. I like three bids. I do have San Diego State winning it, but I do have the three bids, the same three teams. John, how about you?
I think Rocco talked me into Colorado State winning this conference. I want to go with the Aztecs, but they lost so much good talent, senior talent from last year. And it's hard to pick against David Roddy and Stevens. They're a great pair of teammates. I think I'll set the over-under. If the over-under has been set at three, I think I'll take two. I think the Aztecs and Colorado State makes it. Nevada, I don't love their non-conference schedule, which is good because they should win a lot of those games. So if they win like 25, obviously they are going to make it. But if they stub their toe a couple times, I don't think they're going to have enough in the net to get up there. And as far as I know, this is not the Coach Alford show, despite Matt's desire to make it such. he really has put together an amazing resume. If I can just drop a quick stat, who has more wins, Steve Alford or Jay Wright?
Got to be kidding.
I'm not. Jay Wright has 609 wins, Alford 621. I just think of him as that short white kid who made the free throws back with Bob Knight in 87 when they won it all. He's turned into an amazing coach. Not that he's winning championships like Jay Wright, don't get me wrong, but he's been around for like 30 years, and all he does is win like 20 games a year for three decades. The man can coach.
Yeah, I mean,
he can. Like, that was what I was saying. I thought he would have been doing better by now. I like him as a coach. I really like him. He won at New Mexico State, won at Iowa. They shouldn't have gotten rid of him, but they did. Won at Missouri State, which was Southwest Missouri State at the time. He can coach. I just was a little surprised, but to Matt's point, he did kind of walk into a mess. I like Steve Alford. I don't want to give the impression that I don't.
He also has more career wins than Tim Miles. Rocco, how about you?
Shut up!
Oh, it's funny John brought that up. John and I were actually both on the Zoom Mountain West call last week, and John asked Coach Alford that question if he was ever
if he'd won more games than Tim Miles.
No, not about Miles, not about Jay Wright, but he asked if he was going to take some time to reflect on his multiple decades of coaching. Anyway, so it's cool that you brought that up. I'm going to throw a little curveball. I know I talked about Colorado State earlier. I am much higher on coaching and defense and pedigree, and that's what San Diego State stands for. If there is one big question mark about Colorado State is they couldn't get in the top 70 in defense, adjusted defense last year. That's their biggest challenge this year. I know Coach Medved's focused on it, but give me the tried and true proven ingredient, which is Coach Dutcher and the Aztecs getting it done on the defensive end, making things really hard on opponents, and Matt Bradley just being that dagger night in and night out to win the league. Colorado State clearly in the field. I do think Nevada has the goods and their tournament quality across the board. My only concern is really the schedule, getting some of those wins away from home. Even though the schedule doesn't look great, they do have a lot of like tricky road games. They're going to be here at San Francisco. They're going to be at Santa Clara. They're going to be at North Texas, at UT Arlington. Like, they're taking on some teams that most people would never want to go to their gyms and play, and that's dicey. So really fascinated to see how that plays out. And then Fresno State's the dark horse. Final thought is Tim Miles. Have to mention it. I give San Jose State University a lot of credit. They've taken a whole new approach to athletics. Started a year ago, a lot more money going into the program, a whole new philosophy across all sports. You saw football already starting to improve. And Tim Miles is getting in there at the right time and really excited to see where he takes this thing.
I hate to do it, but David, I'm going to give you a chance to put your two cents in here as well.
Okay, well, I'm going with three. I thought it was only going to be two. But I like Colorado State to win the league. I like San Diego State behind them. And I didn't think Nevada was going to get the chances that they need because I thought they were kind of taking a pass. And you all have mentioned their out-of-conference schedule, but something Rocco touched on, and I believe that like in our interview with the committee chairman, Tom Burnett, he focused on this point, like how hard is it to win the games you won, not just how good was the team you played. It's hard to win at San Diego. It's not easy to win at Santa Clara necessarily. They're playing some games, North Texas, another one, to where if they go on the road and win all three of those, and then they can get one out of the four games or three games, whatever it is, against San Diego State and Colorado State, if they can get one of those on the road, I think they're inside the bubble. I think they can get three in. And I'm not really big on anybody else to make it, except I think San Jose State does win the auto bid.
Okay. On that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us for Mad Wednesday podcast. If you're looking for the American, it's up there. The Atlantic 10 is up there. The West Coast is down there. All the other conferences are up in the season preview tab. Exhibition games are up there too. But on behalf of Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, and John Titel, you guys were in different spots earlier. I don't know what happened here. Pat Sikowski and David Griggs down the bottom row now.
Woo-hoo!
I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.